Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670, the Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. He is the Score's baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. I'm suffering the same whiplash that Brad Biggs has right now from watching the home run ball sailed out. You know, it was just a rough moment, and you know, such a great comeback, and to have that deflating home run ball pitched by Kimbrel was kind of like you looked around, you saw the Wrigley faithful. They're looking at each other like, is that, you know, is September 29th, is that the end of our season? I think that was the first kind of feeling that this season is slowly slipping away.
Yeah, Bruce, you wrote it with the word stunning, and I couldn't argue with you more. It couldn't argue with you less. Stunning that Rizzo plays, right? Stunning he's able to hit a home run off of Flaherty. Stunning that that's all they can get, and then stunning that they can come back the way they did, and then really stunning that Kimbrel gives up that home run. And listen, we're in the playoffs. I get that, but that's one of those games where I guess you'd say the most important game of the year, and you come up just short despite a couple of, you know, kind of amazing turns of events.
A real stunner.
Yeah, it was. And you know, you say the most important game of the year, and you're right, Mike. But, you know, look at those two Cincinnati games, okay? I mean, again, Cincinnati's not a team that just rolls over. They're not like the Padres or the Pirates at this point in time. But they had so many good opportunities. And, you know, mental mistakes, are, you know, from a championship-caliber team is not what you expect. But they lost two important runs over 2 days. Because of bad running plays by Kyle Schwarber, and you hate to pick on him because he's such a terrific guy, and he's been a big part of their September push here because of the renaissance in his slug and his being able to move the ball all over. But you can't have that type of a mental mistake in those big moments if you're going to be a championship caliber team.
Couldn't agree more, Bruce. And I also think that while we're talking about Schwarber, his at bat in the ninth kind of bothered me more than anything because obviously the error was a problem, but he was sitting there 3-0, and you thought, okay, he's trying to win this. And I understand why you give him the green light, but that approach, yeah, I just don't know if that time was appropriate. But I guess then the question from that is, how do the Cubs prevent one loss from ruining the weekend, the carryover effect? It's quick that you.
Yeah.
The good news is you play today at 1:30. The bad news is you play today at 1:30 because it's still kind of lingers.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Sir Alec Mills will be the guy that has to do it, and you know, it'd be a great story. He's pitched well, and he's become a favorite of Joe's because he's one guy that you brought up from the minor leagues that doesn't throw 98 miles an hour. He has the pitchability. The ability to throw the ball kind of like Hendricks, just, you know, slower and slower. And he's got to be the guy today that gives you five or six really good innings, holds them to one or two runs, and you hope the offense steps it up. But, you know, certainly a deflating loss after a tremendous comeback that reminded anybody who remembers the 2016 season of that tremendous comeback against the Giants in the NLDS in San Francisco, being down in the ninth inning after being shut down completely by Mike Moore, and then coming back and winning without having to face Johnny Cueto in a game, possible game four, a game five rather. So that was reminiscent of that, and it was such a terrific moment, but unfortunately went by the boards.
Rizzo coming back, you know, we're talking about the idea that he left in the seventh inning. Will he be able to play again this morning, right? I mean, this afternoon, he's got to get up and feel okay and ice that thing even more than he's been doing. And you know, I guess his wife's been helping him. She's nursing him as he's coming back from this thing. And remarkable story.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a great story, you know, great baseball story. You know, the Kirk Gibson moment, as you guys mentioned. You know, the idea that, you know, a guy can come off the bench unexpected. And again, within minutes of the game was what the way that Joe described them getting the okay for him to be there. And, you know, it's just such a tremendous story. And then the home run and, you know, just the guts of him being out there, the type of player he is, the survivor of cancer, you know, all the real details, the romantic details of the game and surrounding Rizzo. And then the deflation of the loss is very tough. So right now, for the first time, guys, since April, they find themselves out of the pennant rush. You know, they are not the second wild card. They're not the top three. They're not in the top three of teams trying to get to the playoffs. So this is a rough moment for them. They have to rebound here. I think you guys put it very well. If they don't win these three games here, you're kind of, you know, the season is really getting away from you. 2-2 is just not going to get it done. The Cardinals walk out on Sunday night, you know, with a three-game lead over the Cubs. I don't think that gets that done. And you're going to have to start begging the Brewers to lose. You have to watch the Mets only a couple of games behind you. It's going to be a real challenge, but again, it's still there for him. 9 games to go. Let's see how it works out.
Bruce, I'm cringing as I ask you this. Trust me here. If the Cubs are leading 4-3 in the ninth inning today, is Craig Kimbrell getting the ball?
I don't think so. Honestly, I just don't. I think coming back from the injury, he'd been out for since, what, September 2nd. And he came in at high leverage right away, struck out a couple of guys. Something tells me that Wick gets the ball today. I don't know. You know, he's been the deserving one. The bullpen has been outstanding, actually. The best bullpen in baseball, believe it or not, statistically, since Kimbrell went down on September 2nd. I mean, all the numbers tell you it's been fantastic. No slug against them, under 600. So, I mean, Wick is deserving. I guess you open yourself up for a second guess if you put Wick in instead of Kimbrell. But honestly, you know, if you can hold Wick off until the later part of the game, I would go with him.
Cole Hamels obviously has to be sidelined for a start with the sore shoulder. And look, you know, I get it. You don't want a guy going out there for 3.5 innings and then use up the bullpen if you've got a big series over the weekend. But is this a spot? Is this a – what do you expect from Mills, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You know, as far as – I'll address Hamels first. His next start will probably be his last start as a Cub, okay, unless they go to the playoffs.
Right.
It'll probably be against Pittsburgh, and it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. That's it. And who knows how much he's got left in the arm. It's been really not good as of late, and since he came back from the oblique, it hasn't been the same pitcher as much as he's tried. You know, Mills, you know, again, you're hoping you get 4 or 5 and then, you know, hand it over to the bullpen. But, you know, there's been some long bullpen days, you know, for the Cubs. And there's just, you know, the idea is, you know, you're almost at a point where you're going to have an opener, you know, with the Cubs at some point here because of the fact that the starting pitchers haven't really gone very far. I mean, Hendricks pitched a decent game yesterday, not his best, but kept him in the ball game.
Right.
But you know, it's been mostly the bullpen that's been holding it together with some bad starts from the starting pitchers.
Bruce, kind of unrelated to the game, but last night, obviously, in the light of the Bob Nightingale report about David Ross and how he would be surprised if he's not named manager by Thanksgiving, and Jed Hoyer was asked by Dan and Connor yesterday about that report and kind of, you know, did not – he said the only thing he could really say, was which was nothing. Then last night, the Fox cameras catch Theo in his box, and there's David Ross. It seemed like bad optics to me. Is that just reading too much into that, or what did you think?
Well, I mean, Ross is employed by the team, and he's been around the team significantly during spring training. Here and there, depending on his TV duties and family duties during the season. So, you know, Joe has embraced David Ross from spring training on as a mentor and as a valued part of the Cub organization. So, you know, if he indeed is the next manager, all signs point to him, if indeed they go away from Joe, I don't think anybody will be shocked. You might be right. It might be bad optics, but it's not like they brought in Joe Girardi to sit up there, or, you know, right? I mean, wasn't Mark DeRosa sitting up there, you know, trying to get a view? It's the guy that's been around the organization. I got to talk to him a little bit yesterday, you know, before the game. He was around talking to players, and, you know, he fits into the fabric. But, you know, for people to think that he's not going to be consideration of Joe doesn't come back, that would be naive. I mean, he's got a lot of the characteristics that you want in a manager. He's got the cachet with the organization and the fan base. You know, he would be a logical choice. And, you know, again, people forget about this. And keep this in mind. Joe is a free agent, okay, as of Sunday the 29th of September. What makes you think at this point that he's not going to tell the Cubs, you know what? Stand down. I'm going to listen to some other offers before I consider taking yours.
I like that idea.
That's an interesting
idea.
Yeah.
Joe leaves before they can tell him to. Either way,
to the punch.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to think about that. There's going to be two teams likely in L.A. Philadelphia is a no-brainer if they don't go to the playoffs, and they don't look like they will. And the Mets job is going to be open. With all that in mind, Joe has big market teams, high profile teams that he will likely be able to interview for and maybe pick from. So regardless of at age 65 and that he's been around forever, Joe Madden has a tremendous reputation. And if the Cubs decide not to offer him a contract, or more importantly, a contract that Joe thinks is
fair,
in line with what he's done, he might say, you know what, that's a great offer. Give me a week or two. You know, I'm going to interview with a couple other people, and I'll get back to you.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce, buddy.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you at the park.
I love that. I love what he just said there. I mean, we have not turned that around at all. That would be kind of fun to turn it around.
You know what, though? You know what they would say?
Yeah. See you, bye.
Bye, Joe. Yeah. Thanks for the memories.
That's right. It's Molly
David
and
Ross.
Is it 3-1?
312-644-6767.
What was that?
Play that again. I got to hear
that. Dave and Ross.
Theo Epstein.
What?
Did you mind the optics of David Ross in Theo's box? It's an interesting question.
I'm always minding the optics.
But I'm saying, did you as a fan mind seeing that? Did you like seeing that? Did you feel like it was a little twist of the knife? Are they just ignoring that report, or... You know, I mean, again, if he's sitting there signing the contract, it's a little bit dodgy.
It's probably an occupational hazard, but that's immediately where my mind went.
Well, and I don't blame you. I'm wondering if fans liked it or didn't like it, or feel that that's a fair thing to have happen. Should David Ross keep a low profile if indeed he's taken over? Or is this a media-driven story by a guy that likes to drive him? Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Did the rain delay help you?
I don't know. I don't care.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That was David Ross here on the score the morning after the World Series victory. David was a regular on our show, and he talked about he was asked about the rain delay. I didn't hear him say anything about Jay Hayes' meeting. Huh? He said that I don't know and I don't care. He didn't say Jay Hay rallied the troops and saved the day.
He said plenty after, though. He's a celebrity. He's a guy that
he's dancing with the stars.
Yeah, he is definitely still popular amongst Cubs fans. I'm curious if those Cubs fans who like him as a player, enjoy his personality, would endorse him as a manager.
And as we do CSI Wrigley Field or CSI Lost to Cardinals, you are sitting there with the photo. You have the photo in front of you. And look, I've got a question about that photo that's driving me nuts.
The photo is of Theo Epstein in his box last night.
Yes. David Ross.
Theo Epstein.
What? He's in the background, Rossi. And next to them are two different types of peanut butter.
That's what drives me kind of crazy. I understand that there's difference in peanut butter. Like some people like crunchy peanut butter, and some people like the smooth peanut
butter.
I'm a
smooth guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a smooth guy as well, but I'm very smooth. You should see me with the ladies. Hey, would you like some peanut butter? But I'm not repulsed by the crunchy, and I could eat the crunchy if forced to. What I don't get is why two different brands of peanut butter? Are there people that will only eat Skippy?
Maybe they're both sponsors. Who knows?
But there's two different products. You could have both smooth. They just happen to be different types of peanut butter. And frankly, I have never been able to differentiate peanut butter from other peanut butter. It's not like mayonnaise.
Where I can't either.
Miracle Whip versus real mayonnaise.
My guess is, though, if there's two different types of peanut butter in Theo Epstein's box, there's some analytic to support it.
Okay. Yeah. What about Rossi in his box? Does that bother you? We have some people checking
in
online.
Check with the callers because I noticed it. Right. I don't know that it bothers me, but in the context of the USA Today story and then that night, it's something that it was impossible not to notice for me.
312-644-6767 is the number. We'll start with Mike. He's in Glenview. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I got news for you guys. There was caviar in that peanut butter because Theo's making $10 million a year. And I'm tired of hearing about when Joe Madden's going to be a free agent. When has Theo become a free agent? He's got the second highest paid team in baseball, and they're not in the top 10. If I perform like that at work, I'd be gone. I want somebody that has a low paid team and performs high.
Okay, so Mike, you're saying that the front office has as much responsibility as Joe does. What I don't understand is why anyone would put caviar in peanut butter.
I know.
You know, it's like why, you know, if you're going to drink Cristal, don't make a mimosa with it.
And
okay?
What Mike just described was the Milwaukee Brewers, $128 million payroll.
Right.
And
they
right now, as we stand here today, ahead of the Cubs.
But if you want to stay with the peanut butter thing, don't throw caviar in it. That sounds just absolutely horrible.
And I'm not throwing Theo out with the caviar or the bathwater or whatever.
Can you guys remind me how many years it took the Cubs to win a World Series?
Yeah, a lot.
108.
And who built that
team? Yeah, I'm not firing Theo.
And they've been in the playoffs every year, right?
They've been in the playoffs for 5 years.
I'm just checking.
But we need to hear from the people, Kev. So that's
Let's try Greg. Greg is listening online. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Well, you know, I got to live down here in the middle of Cardinal country just outside of Springfield, Missouri, and I got to hear about it every time the Cubs lose to the Cardinals. And one thing I've noticed, you know, throughout the year, the Cubs hitters just seem to lack discipline at the plate against pitchers who've got better than average stuff. You know, Flaherty pitched lights out last night, but, you know, it just seems that they lack discipline. And a little bit of leadership from the management position and sticking with the game plan, especially when they've got runners in scoring position. And I just don't think they've got what it takes to make a run this year. And it looks like Joe's probably on his way out. You know, he's been good and he's kept them competitive. But, you know, one thing I questioned of him last night is having Rizzo out on the field. And then the Cardinals playing small ball and Rizzo not being able to make that play.
That didn't hurt that bad. I mean, and Rizzo hit a homer. I appreciate where you're coming from, Greg. Joe Madden's not been a good manager. He's been a great manager. And I think the Cubs' approach at the plate has been a persistent, chronic problem for them. But Jack Flaherty has been lights out against everybody in the second half. So,
and they came back. I mean, they lost that in the 10th inning, which is shocking given the fact that Jack Flaherty pitched as well as he did.
The bat that bothered me was Schwarber's in the 9th inning. He was 3-0, and then he had the green light, and then he struck out. So that was the one bat I would agree with you. But other than that, it's tough to complain about Flaherty shutting him down because he has been that guy.
Schwarber had a bad game.
He did. He had a bad night all around.
Way of,
in the field, on the bases,
and that's
at the plate.
That's going to happen. There's a certain randomness to baseball, and there are certain times when you have great games, and he carried this team for a month or two, and unfortunately he couldn't do it last night.
Can we squeeze in Carlos?
Let's get to Carlos. Carlos is in Humboldt Park. Hey, Carlos.
Anybody but David Ross. I'd rather have Ron Santo in his present form managing the Cubs in that dugout than David Ross.
That's not Carlos. What do you have against Rossi?
He hung up.
He's that mad.
He wanted to make his Ron Santo. Is that a joke?
The corpse of Ron Santo managing the Cubs. I don't think.
If you're going to be offensive, make it funny at least.
I wouldn't say anybody but David Ross. I do wonder about the lack of experience a little bit. I think you see guys make that transition from the booth or wherever into the dugout, and it's seamless. You know, Boone and the Yankees, you know, you see other examples. But
David Ross checks a lot of boxes, in my opinion. I think that he's, a guy that was not a starting player, a guy that, you know, was a backup, a guy who was a catcher, big deal in baseball, guy that, you know, dealt with a pitching staff, had to be a position player, had to deal with battling for his job every year.
Knows the organization.
Knows everything intimately inside and outside the organization, a relationship with the front office. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Ross is a bad hire. I just wonder how people feel if indeed there's a report in the paper that it's going to be a shock to everyone in baseball if he's not the manager by Thanksgiving, and there he is having his own little meal of peanut butter with Theo, and they,
thoughts?
Dressed as a pilgrim. I just think it was a little much.
Are you going to forgive him for recommending Kimbrel?
Listen, I got a lot of time for David Ross. I think very highly of him. He did recommend Kimbrel, and he was at Kimbrel's warm-up. I texted you last night applies. What would David Ross do here?
Here is Matt Carpenter stepping in, driving one in the air, deep left center, trouble, and that's long gone. Matt Carpenter with a home run off Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah, just ran back over the plate, and he drops the barrel at the bottom of the zone really well, and put a good swing on it.
He actually threw the ball really well, just, again, hit the guy's bat.
Mullen and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Yeah, I don't know, Joe.
Do that.
That's very positive, I suppose.
Try to miss his bat.
He hit his bat. Yeah. It had nothing to do with Matt Carpenter hitting the ball with that bat. It was just, it so happened that
you kind of saw it coming.
Really well, just again hit the guy's bat.
You feared the worst, and it was 10 innings that summed up the entire season. Ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. A lot of emotion, a lot of drama, and ultimately some disappointment. And that's what you have to deal with today. You got to get past it, the 30-minute rule, whatever Joe wants to call it. They have to get past it. They got an opportunity today against Waka. You've got Millsy on the mound, Alec Mills. You hope that he gives you – Bruce said 5 or 6. I think that's optimistic.
Millsy.
Let's go with Millsy, you know.
There you go again.
Comfort level.
Huh?
He's been good in September. He's been good. He's given up just that one run. He's had a really
– Listen, Millsy can get it done today. I don't think there's any doubt.
You going with Millsy?
I just did it to combat your Millsy.
Kind of threw me off there.
Good.
Yeah. But, you know, I think you saw last night, it was ultimately a disappointment, but that was the urgency that we have been talking about all year, and that was the best example that we've seen
to this point. It's definitely Millsy time. We're going to have the Millsy tail.
Let's get to the phones.
312-644-6767.
A lot of people want to weigh in.
We'll start with Marlo. Marlo's in South Holland.
Hey, Marlo.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. You know, I've ever since the beginning of the season, I think Theo has put a lot of pressure on the team, saying basically World Series or bust. And I don't know if he's made moves that have actually provided the Cubs with a World Series capable team. I mean, they are a playoff capable team, but not a World Series capable team, I believe. And it almost sounds like from the beginning, Theo was setting Joe Madden up so that he would have justification to let him go at the end of the season.
I disagree. I mean, I understand why you might want to look for a conspiracy, but look, you don't have to. The moves have maybe not, they haven't worked out. Craig Kimbrel has been a disappointment, a colossal disappointment, but It was a responsive move. They needed a closer. They had a opening on the payroll because of Zobrist. They responded. Nick Castellanos, that was a response to a need. You went out and you got bullpen arms. The bullpen before last night was the best bullpen ERA-wise in the majors in September. So I understand that the roster is flawed, that there's maybe it doesn't fit everything that you want it to fit, but I don't think that Theo Epstein would go into any season designed to fail.
Yeah, I think Theo has made Theo is sort of the Cardi B of general managers. He's made money moves. No?
You are so hip.
I thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, man, hey, this segment of the Mully and Haw Show sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door. You eat the food and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see the website for details.
David, you bring up that stat about the Cubs bullpen, how good they've been in that period of time. Coincidentally, that's when Craig Kimbrell was on the injured list.
That is interesting, isn't it?
It's
he goes out September 1st, and going into last night's game, I think their ERA bullpen ERA of 2.35 was the lowest. And I did not realize that. And I think that we spend so much time critiquing these bullpen moves and what works and what doesn't, mostly what doesn't, that you forget that they have been overall, body works pretty impressive.
Joe did say that they discussed it and they were going to use Kimbrell in a high leverage situation, that they talked about it.
Yeah.
In other words, it wasn't just Joe coming up with the idea, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to roll out Craig Kimbrell in the most intense moment of the game. That was agreed upon before they began.
I get it, though. I get it. It didn't work, but I'm not going to second guess that part of it because that's what I would have done, and that's why he's here. That's what you're paying him for.
That's why you made that money move.
And it's not like it's not like it's his first time in that situation, not his first rodeo, okay?
I agree. 312-644-6767. Eric is in the Quad Cities. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Good morning. First off, I'm probably the only Cub fan that still believes in Craig Kimbrell. I mean, basically, he...
Yep, you're the last one.
Well, next year will be proof whether or not Theo made the right move in signing Kimbrell.
Yeah, but next year, we're talking about this year. We're talking about getting to the playoffs. We're talking about needing to win a game. I don't know many Cub fans that were like, oh, here we go. Thank God it's Craig Kimbrell. And I'm glad, Eric, that you stand with him. But you do stand alone with him, right? You get that.
Well, correct, but he's not the only one that blown saves. I mean, the Cubs have blown, like, what, 25 games?
It wasn't a save, but he did blow it last night.
It felt like it was the same situation.
Well, yeah, it was not a save.
Okay, granted, but technically, the bullpen as a whole, whether their ERA is good, but the fact is, Kimbrough's not the only one that blown saves, not counting last night.
Yeah.
That's why you signed him, because you were having so many issues.
I admire your loyalty, but I think point it's sort of like it's misplaced because I have been, you know, when they got him, I had big expectations.
Sure,
like
you did.
Like everybody.
Right.
No, I don't say everybody, because a lot of people didn't think that it was worth the money. I thought it was the responsive move they needed to make at the time. I expected more out of him. I thought that you give him the 3 weeks or so that he spent in the minors to get ready.
He was the best guy available for the job they had open, right?
If you want to criticize the Cubs, yes, that is true. But he was also that was also true in January when you could have gotten him to get him to Arizona.
It might have cost more money.
It might have cost more money. It would have cost more money.
Sure, it would have.
But would he have been better for longer periods of time and you wouldn't have these bouts of inconsistency to the point where this weekend, if he comes into the game, let's face it, you're holding your breath, and you're expecting the worst.
I think he's been pretty consistent.
Let's try
me.
Jim. Jim is in Harvard.
Hey, Jim.
Well, Jim. Well, Jim.
God has smote the Cubs with these injuries because God is not a Cubs fan. We know that. It took 108 years. And then Rick Stanley went fundraising for Trump and selling off the rights to Sinclair Wingnut Radio
Excuse me?
So now we know that God is not a Republican, neither I suspected it all along.
God, I mean, just so you know, I don't know what God you believe in, Jim, but the God that I believe in is a fan of Eddie Pinero.
The Bears.
Eddie Pinero. The God that I know and love and hold in my heart doesn't like Denver.
You don't believe in Jesus Christ, you better start because he's real.
He turned on the Broncos when they got rid of Tebow. I mean, let's face it. That's what happened.
I mean, Jim, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
It all comes back to politics, as most of sport does. It's pretty much a universal.
How bizarre.
Les. Listen up closely, Snowflake.
Les is in Oak Park.
Morning, Les.
Morning, guys. If you look at the schedule, the Brewers are playing, all the rest of their games are against bottom dwellers who are bringing up double-A and triple-A pitchers for batting practice or whatever. The Cubs' only hope is the Nationals tanking. They have a lot of games left with Cleveland and with the Phillies, both who are fighting for wild card. If Washington tanks, Brewers are going to be the first wild card team. Maybe the Cubs can sneak in and be the second wild card team.
Les, who do the Nationals play this weekend? Do you know?
A lot of games against.
Miami. They play Miami.
The Marlins. The Indians.
They play Miami.
The Marlins this weekend.
And the Brewers are playing Pittsburgh. Yeah. I know it gets tougher, but if the Cubs don't take care of business starting this afternoon, then this is
the Cubs have six games left against the Cardinals, and if they split them, they're in trouble. That doesn't matter what anyone else does. You have to take care of what's in front of you.
Let's close it out with Dave and Normal and hope that he is. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Dave.
Morning. Hey, you guys have kind of talked about it already, but I was just wondering what your thoughts were as far as bringing Kimbrel in, because Joe's done this before, or the whole group together, whatever, has decided to bring him in before, right when he's come off an injury and stuff, and it hasn't worked out.
Well, it didn't work out yesterday for sure.
That complicated yesterday was that you used Rowan Wick the day before. And so you had some tired arms. And maybe you go – I don't think that had you gone to C-Sheck before you went to Kimbrel that, you know, who knows what would have happened. You can't predict that. But I was okay with him going to Kimbrel at that point. I felt like, all right, you're going to see what he's got. It's a tie game. It's not a safe situation, but it's still high leverage. There was that adrenaline. There was the drama that he tends to thrive on. So that's why he's here. Use him.
Yeah. Look, we talked to Tommy Hadavi, and we asked him specifically how they were planning on using Kimbrel. And he said, well, you know, we're going to pitch him. He's a pitcher, and of course we have to do it in a high leverage situation. Didn't surprise me they went to him when he was
More surprised to see Rizzo than I was to see Kimbrel.
All right, let's give something away just to close out the weekend on a feel-good.
We are
givers.
Just givers.
Before we do transition, we'll do a feel-good. Be caller 6 to the score contest line. The contest line, 312-591-6700. Win a pair of tickets to see the Bulls versus the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors on Saturday, October 26th. Tickets for all 2019-2020 regular season home games go on sale today and can be purchased via bulls.com.
The music gets you a little tingling.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year, a good year. You can hear the games here on the Score.
He has a soul and a spirit, which I think is important.
Yeah, and Jim Boylan, it will be front and center. We get Casey Johnson at NBC Sports Chicago. There's going to be a lot of wonderful reasons to invest your time in the Bulls.
He'll still be on our show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Why?
Yeah.
What are you trying to do?
I'm not trying to do anything. More KC, the better.
That's our guy. All right. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor next, and we'll talk to them, hopefully, about all these matters that matter. Everything that's important, as opposed to the usual conversation. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.